Welcome to installment 121 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Prohibition number 217, the prohibition against crossbreeding or interbreeding different species of animals, and prohibition number 218, not to do an act of work such as plowing with two different species of animals together. Over the past few days, we have been discussing the laws regulating the interplanting and interbreeding of different species of plants. Today's commandment, Prohibition 217, deals with the interbreeding of animals, as it is specifically indicated in the book of Leviticus that you shall not interbreed different species of animals. As in many cases of biblical prohibitions, the legislated punishment is lashes. However, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam tells us that this is only given upon specific conditions which are met. For example, only when the actual mating act has been accomplished by human assistance is a biblical violation being performed. In other words, not putting the animals in mere proximity to each other, but actually taking the organs and physically joining them together. Only when the person joins the organs together, only then is the biblical violation being performed. As the Rambam quotes a Talmudic passage dealing with standards of proof. Normally, witnesses, according to Torah, must see exactly what has occurred. Therefore, circumstantial evidence is inadmissible in a Torah court. And we have many other laws to ensure that the testimony is perfectly valid. When it comes to a case of adultery or incest, or something of the sort being performed, however, the Rambam quotes the passage that you don't have to actually see the organs involved. It is enough to see the people connected in a normal way. However, the Talmud differentiates in this case of interbreeding that actually physically placing the organs together, only then will the person incur lashes. Evidently, the Rambam brings down this passage to prove to us, as he normally does in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that this counts as one of the 613 commandments, that since we see in such a case one gets lashes, this is one of the standards that Rambam uses to determine whether a particular commandment counts as one of the 613, when lashes are given out. This commandment, as well as the next one in today's portion, are discussed in the 8th chapter of the Tractate Kilayim. The reason for this commandment is very similar to the ones we have discussed over the previous days, that since the world was created with certain distinct species, and at the beginning of creation, it is related that God looked upon his creation and said, "V'hine tov ma'ot," that behold, it is very good. This shows that God was satisfied with the species he has created. And although he certainly intended our creation to effect an improvement in the world and a completion, an additional perfection and elevation of the world, nevertheless, we are given certain prescribed parameters in which we can work on improving the world. Excluded from the permitted course of action is intermingling species, which will eventually cause these species to disappear, or at the least create new sorts of species which were never created. Although we might say that since we have the ability to interbreed them and create new species, we should do so, this certainly is true, that if we see we can improve the creation according to our meager understanding by doing certain acts which are today scientifically possible, we are certainly allowed and perhaps obligated to do so. However, this is only when the Torah has not specifically forbidden them to us, as is in the case of crossbreeding species. Therefore, the purpose of this commandment is to preserve the order of creation as it is naturally, so to speak, occurring, as it has been in existence from the time of creation. The second commandment of today's portion is prohibition number 218, the prohibition against taking two species of animals and doing an act of work together with them. As the verse states, Lo sachresh, Besheru v'chamer yachtav, do not plow with an ox and a donkey together. And when we say together, this means to unite them in any form of work, not only plowing, whether it comes to threshing or pulling a cart or anything of the sort. Uniting two species together is prohibited. Many different explanations are given for this commandment. The Ramban Nachmanides says that this is a decree of the Torah to prevent the first prohibition of today's portion, that one may not interbreed animals. The Rabban says if you come to do work with them together, eventually you will come to keep them in the same stable, and eventually they will come to crossbreed. This would apply to any species of animal. And in fact, the Rosh, one of the Rishonim, the early commentaries, says that this prohibition not to work with different species of animals would apply to any two species. In his Book of Commandments, however, Maimonides states that the biblical prohibition applies only when you have animals similar to the ones indicated in the Torah, an ox, which is a kosher animal, and a donkey, which is not a kosher animal. Therefore, anyone that would take one kosher and one non-kosher animal and join them together in any act of work would be violating the biblical prohibition and would be punished by lashes. By rabbinic decree, joining any two species of animals together, however, is prohibited, even according to the opinion of Maimonides. This leads us to a second category of explanations for this commandment, all of which deal with the issue of Tzar Balachayim, the prohibition of cruelty to animals. The Ibn Ezra explains that this is part of God's merciful treatment of his creatures, that he knows that it is extremely painful physically for two animals with a different nature and a different level of strength to join together in a certain act of work. An ox, for example, is much stronger than a donkey, and it would cause pain to the donkey to have to help pull a truck together with the ox, which is going to go much faster than his capability. The Baal HaTurim and other commentaries go a step further and say the pain being caused to the animals here is not so much of a physical pain. What is the pain being caused here? If we see the difference between a kosher and non-kosher animals, normally, in the vast majority of cases, a non-kosher animal does not chew its cud to re-chew its food after it has been ingested the first time, whereas a kosher animal does chew its cud. It is mylegeta. Therefore, the Baal HaTurim says that an animal is sensitive even to when another animal is eating. And when the two animals are pulling the wagon together, for example, the donkey will look at the ox and see that the ox is eating. In the meantime, the donkey doesn't understand that the ox is chewing its cud, and the donkey wonders why it doesn't get food. It doesn't have to be on such a conscious level, but the donkey certainly gets hungry when he sees his neighbor eating. And this itself causes pain to the donkey, even if it is well fed, evidently. The mere fact that it sees the next animal is being given food, and he is not being given food, this causes pain to the animal, and therefore the Torah forbids us from taking a kosher and non-kosher animal and causing them to do work together. A third aspect of this prohibition as relating to cruelty to animals, in an even deeper sense, is given by the Chinuch. The Chinuch, who gives explanations for many of the commandments, explains that two animals, which are very different in nature, cannot dwell together, live together, or join together. He even uses the expression, daiga gedela, that they have great worry, great concern to live with something which is not a member of their species. And certainly, if they have to join together in the same act of work, to be put in close proximity, certainly this causes them a deeper pain and a deeper concern. So when it comes to two different species, one which is kosher and one non-kosher, the fact that the Torah has indicated that one is kosher and one is not shows us how far away they are in nature, one from another. As explained in Kabbalah and Chassidus, that a kosher animal gets its spiritual nourishment from klipas nega, the intermediate form of klipa, a mixture of good and bad, whereas a non-kosher animal gets its spiritual life and nourishment from the three totally impure klipas, the three impure spiritual levels. They have a completely different spiritual source. And to take two different animals, which have such a great natural difference, and join them together, this itself causes pain to the animal. And this is the reason the Chinuch gives for the prohibition of working with them both together. In Chassidus, it is explained that sometimes it is a positive act to take two opposites and join them together, as is brought from the case of the two angels, Michal and Gavriel, one of them representing chesed, or kindness, and the other one, Gavriel, corresponding to gevura, severity. Or as the example is sometimes given, that Michal is the angel of water, whereas Gavril is the angel of fire. And each one has a negative effect on the other, that normally water will extinguish fire, and fire will burn up the water. However, as we say at the end of Kaddish, that God is Eiseh Sholem Bimreimav, that He makes peace in the heavens. And it's just as two people having a disagreement, who come in front of the judge, suddenly forget about their disagreement, so too, when these angels come in the presence of God, they also are able to forget the differences between them. And in fact, can utilize the good qualities of each of them in order not only to peacefully coexist, but to join together and use the best qualities in performing an even higher being and a higher act. However, this is only when both species, or in this case, both angels are holy. In the case of mixing a kosher and a non-kosher animal together in an act of work, since one of them has a spiritual source from impurity, it cannot be joined together with the one from a holy source, from the kosher animal. By joining them together, the non-kosher animal would be getting a spiritual effect and a spiritual flow which it does not deserve from the forces of holiness. Therefore, we must keep them separate one from another. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichos in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.